Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Get fired up.
Oh, yeah.
Performance-enhancing audio.
This is the State of Combat Podcast with Brian Campbell.
Oh, yeah, they said the box would never be back, but here it is, the SOC. Boxeo time. Is that science really all that sweet lately? I'll let you be the judge, but it is your boy BC back in front of the mic, and let me tell you, I'm fired up. I'm ready for the true podcast to begin.
He knows I'm a very true guy, and I know my true, and he knows he's true, and he's not ready for true.
Get yourself ready for true, because I have a podcast with a Slovakian guy, and he is a New York Times best-selling author. He is employed again, and he is the best in the world at what he does. It is Rafe Bartholomew.
Let me lick you, lick you up. Let me lick no more unemployment.
Boom, 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 boom. Rafe Boogs, congratulations on being employed again. You deserve it.
Thank you. At least somebody got the score right. Thank you to my new colleagues at usbets.com, Better Collective Tennessee, which is the umbrella company under which we serve, which I think is even part of some other company that's based in Denmark. I don't know. I hope I get flown out to Copenhagen so I can say what's up to our boy Ulrich Anderson, and we can bro out with Darren Barker.
I'd love to shake his hand. I would love to shake his hand. Rafe, I was going to bring up Ulrich in a second, but you have joined forces for the second time in your life with one Eric Raskin, and I did want to tease the bag a little. If you like the State of Combat and you like Eric Raskin, we, meaning Eric and myself, have a bonus podcast.
This is that Survivor crap. I didn't even get an invite for this.
Good Lord, you don't like that ish, do you?
No, I've not. I watched the first season. All I know is Richard.
All right, well, CBS, all-time greatest hit, Survivor, of course, one of my favorite shows. Later this week on the SOC, it is a spectacular bonus pod. Three-time Survivor contestant, two-time cancer survivor Ethan Zahn stops by to tell us about that time he dated Jennifer Love Hewitt and how it exploded in front of him.
Was this when she was vajazzling? Do you remember that?
Wow, I don't know if we can say that on the air. I mean,
it's not even a real word. It's not in the dictionary. It's not one of George Carlin's seven words you can't say. No, she was Brian. After this podcast, you go look it up on the YouTube. She went on. Remember, George Lopez used to have a late night show on cable?
Yes.
So yes. She was a guest on the George Lopez show and went on there and talked for like 5 minutes about how she had gotten into vajazzling, which if you know what the bedazzler is and you know what a vajayjay is, you put two and two together and you get a great book with some Kriegel in it. But you also...
Wow.
Yeah. You know, he might have shot his load on that one.
Wow. Well, Ethan Zahn's going to tell us how a visit on the Howard Stern show derailed their relationship. You're going to love that story. Anyway, Rafe, also David Sampson, former president of the Miami Florida Marlins, the Montreal Expos, and a contestant in 2014 on Survivor. And also, by the way, my colleague at CBS Sports from the Nothing Personal podcast with David Sampson, also going to be on that show. Rasky going to stop by. We're going to look at the greatest players in history, the hottest chicks in Survivor history as well. Hopefully.
Is Survivor a show that has a lot of eye candy?
Yes. Yes.
Really?
It did exist. Yes.
I've been watching some Alone, and there's not a lot of eye candy on Alone.
No, I don't watch that. What Raz?
You got to get down. Oh, Alone is dope, man.
Well, I've had a lot. I spent a lot of time alone. But Rask and I got into the reality of when you're a Survivor fan that the hot chicks always get voted off too early. So the rest of the season, you know, you're hanging on. You know what I'm saying?
What exactly are you hanging on to?
Well, that's remember what they said that time about Dillian?
Dillian White has one of the best sticks in the game.
Yes. Thank you, Richard. Hey, shout out to Richard Dwyer. Have you been checking his YT page? Is he still producing?
He is. I have not been on top of the Dwyer drops as I used to be. Not really because I have one foot out of the boxing game, thanks to the Athletics shit canning me, so to speak. But really just because even if I was still working in boxing, there's not much to watch Richie Dwyer talk about. There's not much to listen to us talk about, frankly, but we're still here.
That's why it's 2 weeks later and we're finally having a podcast about nothing. I guess you can call this State of Seinfeld, right? I mean, it's just a bunch of crap.
What is the deal?
What's the deal with the bubble? It's not a little. Rafe, I did want to say that when do you have to converse with Rask for your job? And do you ever pick up the phone and say, all right, Eric, deep breath now. Here's the deal, Rafe. Music makes me lose control.
Music make you lose control.
Okay, you're asking.
Let me put some water.
Put the water on your balls.
Let me put some water on your balls. Deep breath now.
Okay, Eric. let me
invite you to my bris.
Yes, all right. Let me, yes, okay, thank you. Good luck to you two there.
I mean, one of the big joys of this new opportunity for me is that I've heard so much about Eric Raskin's glory days as a doubles tennis superstar in the Ilunga Makabu games. And, I was looking for a partner and I needed someone who could help me raise my game. He's my boss. I have to, I answer directly to Raskin.
Wow.
You're not my boss anymore, BC. I'm sorry.
You'll be the first because Raskin usually answers to his wife. Thank you. All right. Rafe, speaking of all of the people that we regularly shout out, right? The Irish crew, the ADK crew. I think Godinez is still alive. I think he tweeted the other day. Did you see him?
He has been tweeting. Yes, he's alive on Twitter.
Has he survived and about with COVID?
B-Sample Bloke, whatever he calls himself now, sent him to hell. Ooh. He dug up. You know how he does with you? He finds the old photos.
Yes.
He found like the corporate headshot for our guy Alex Godinez and tweeted it at him. You know, classic B-Sample Bloke. I don't know how he does it, man. This guy, his mystery, it just grows the more we learn because he knows some deep inside boxing stuff. Sometimes
he does.
When he slides into DMs, it's like, oh wait, this is not just a man who enjoys the humor of boxing Twitter. This might be the burner of some, but this might be Al Heyman.
I know this game. You gotta listen to me when I tell you what's going on. I'm calling this shot. I'm telling you.
Yeah, he calls a lot of shots in my DMs as well. Interesting. I don't know. He's a man of all countries. He is your 2019 State of Combat Listener of the Year, by the way, even though some people think we got that voting wrong, right? But, you know, it did happen.
Alex Godinez, what's going on, brother?
What's going on, brother, indeed. By the way, did you see VO on Instagram live story yesterday?
No, what's he up to? Does he have any skunks?
No, I feel bad here. A good friend of his, I think from his youth, died. And he posted like 20 consecutive videos of him grieving the death. And I felt bad for him. But then it got really dark where he just had the phone set up like at a weird angle. And he just sat there like gushing tears. Like there was like some videos of him just crying and talking about how he loved that guy. But then there's some where he's like aching and we shouldn't be seeing that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is like prime Vanis Martirosian oversharing.
Yeah, it got a little weird. And shout out to Vio. I hope he's hanging in there. We do love some Vio.
Dude, this is nuts.
Indeed. But what I was trying to say was, we didn't do a show in a while. Heck, I never know if we're ever going to do a show again if boxing doesn't decide to announce some fights soon, Rafe.
You had Fight Island to deal with. You had a whole island full of skinheads last week. We understand.
That is keeping my business afloat. Thank you. We did get an email, you and I, from Postmark Denmark, postdated Dateline Denmark.
He might be my new corporate overlord.
Subhead, we want the box is your subject line. From one Ulrich Anderson, Rafe, who says, Rafe and BC, I've been indifferent to the skinhead sport, but I'm starting to resent it due to the disappointment I feel every time I see there's a new SOC episode, only to realize it's another skinhead edition of the show. Rafe, a lot of people are saying that same thing lately, okay? He says, I'm from the Danish hood. I don't want stories about men rolling around in their undies. I want stories about greasy gas station food, wash BC playing hoops, Pacific rims, fathers, sons, liquid crack, and all that other good stuff. He went on to crack more jokes, but we're doing this show today in part because this is what the people want, Rafe. Okay?
Well,
we ain't here to break down Michaela Mayer's jab, right? We're here just because the people need it.
I need it, Brian. I need it. I need the people. I need the shout outs. I need Dwyer. I need you in my life, brother.
Thank you. Thank you. It did exist. Thank you. Okay. How are you doing on your liquid crack?
I see you on Instagram touching with Simpsons images, touching tips with your skinhead brother,
yes.
Luke Thomas.
Yes,
now
that's my my new fling. In fact, that is, yes, I have.
I see what's going on, Brian. I see I'm getting phased out.
I have brought another into the marriage bed, and he has his own closet now. Yes,
you're making me look like Will Smith here. Yeah.
What the cuck are you talking about, Rafe? How's your liquid crack intake these days?
Look at this. Look, I only have. I'm holding. Oh, I don't know if you can see
can
it.
See
no,
it.
Because of my weird background, but. It's a bottle that once had liquid crack in it, but now is filled with pink lemonade with the Crystal Light, which think is still basically the same chemical as the liquid crack.
You got me into seltzer now. I'm a seltzer guy because of you now.
I'm down with the seltzer too, but I need to get back to the store and pick up a new batch.
They both look great. They were cut up. They had 6 packs, 8 packs, 12 packs, 24 packs. They had it all going.
Thank you. Thank you. Rafe, your state is one of the newest states to legalize the green leaf. Have you,
Yeah, I've been hitting the dispensary.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. All right. It's legal, okay? So why don't you just relax a little bit?
Yo. Relax, you know what I mean?
All right. Hey, enough. You remember that time people reviewed the show and they were like, sounds like a second-rate morning drive show. They didn't even talk boxing for the first 20 minutes. Hey, there ain't no boxing to talk about, all right? But, Rafe, I do have other headlines. Have you ever heard of that little man in Las Vegas?
Ooh, who are we talking about here?
The ginger. The guy.
Canelo?
No, the other ginger. The little man in Las Vegas. Our guy.
Oh,
no. I do like ginger.
Me too. Isn't Evan Korn a ginger?
I don't. Oh, he might be. If I'm a ginger, then he is.
Well, Rafe, I didn't prepare you.
But he's not little. He's not little. Look, we talk. He's like Broner. He's not little, man. I've seen him. Not little.
I received a phone call the other day. Okay, I didn't prepare you for this. From one Evan Korn.
Is he sending me to hell?
He says, "Why don't you have this conversation on the show with Rafe?" He says, I just so happened to check, because that's what I do, who unfollowed me on Twitter. And he says, I have been unfollowed by the one and only at Rafe Boogs. And quote, I just want you to let Rafe know that I know. End quote.
Word. You know what? Rafe, I didn't even know.
Well, I think this is enough of an offense that we may have to bring on a higher level to find out the answer to this.
You can't handle the truth.
Makes no sense. It doesn't fit. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Son, my friend, I've been sitting here for 10 minutes now looking over this rap sheet of...
Your rap sheet has an unfollow to the man who twice became the SOC's content provider of the year. How do you plead?
Apparently guilty. I'm looking at it right now, and I'm not following him. Nor is he following me, and that's fine with me. Look,
grudge unfollow? Like he hit you with the
I don't know.
Punch, right?
That's fine. I don't take it personally. There is no grudge. This is my personal Twitter philosophy. If I have love for you in real life, I don't give a damn about Twitter. And I do have love for Evan Korn in real life. He was a great person to work with for the last year. And he just a lovely, funny, great guy in general. I probably unfollowed him along with a lot of people. I unfollowed Pug and Cop, a lot of people I used to follow, because that ain't my job to follow nobody no more. All right. And that was sort of how, perhaps a little rash of me. People say you could use the mute button. You know what? I ain't about that half stepping stuff.
Wow.
If I'm out, I'm all the way out. I'm not out of my love for Evan Korn, but if I ain't a working media professional, I don't need to be bothering him with my Twitter presence, nor does he need to be, you know what I mean? And look, it doesn't matter, because like my life is probably better with his Twitter feed or with his tweets in my life. But sometimes I don't care and I'm just like, yo, I'm out.
Wow. Rafe never half steps because he's not a half stepper.
I drink a lot of Dr. Pepper.
Drink a lot of soda, so hopefully he doesn't perish like Fife Dog. Thank you. Okay, so...
Anyway, much love, Evan. It really is. I am not mad at you at all.
Stop that crap! Stop it!
Yeah.
And that never crossed my mind. I just act stupid online sometimes because I don't... It's just Twitter. It's not real life to me.
I can't wait to see the boxingscene.com headline. Rafe :
You think I care about what the freak that guy that acted that way, that behaved that way, that I care what he thinks of me?
No.
No.
I don't. All right, Korn, take that. All right. Hey, Rafe, did you know that it ain't just boxing and skinheads that are back in the game? I don't know if we've had this conversation yet.
I don't know if we have either. It's been a couple weeks, man.
Did you know, Rafe, that there's another cat on the prowl, so to speak, these days, in the DMs, also on the golf course.
Mm.
All right? And he goes, rah, rah, like a dungeon
dragon. Like a dungeon dragon.
Yes, 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 yes.
Does he play golf while his pants are sagging?
Rafe, Tiger Woods is back this weekend. And we at CBS Sports just so happen to have a podcast worth listening to called The First Cut. Hey, Rafe, I don't know about you, but I've heard that The First Cut is the deepest.
Yeah, usually.
Okay. Tiger Woods is back, and Rafe, the big cat, is he really called
Tiger
the big
William.
Cat? Isn't that Ernie Ladd? Has Tiger Woods ever been called the big cat?
No, that was Andres Galarraga, as far as I know.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay. All right.
And it's also that guy on Barstool. Is there? How many more big cats are there?
That's not a cat. Okay. Anyway, Rafe, I wanted you to know that the big cat is making his first PGA Tour start this weekend since February at the Memorial Tournament when Tiger invades historic Muirfield Village. And the First Cut Golf Podcast has you covered. They don't care about the other listeners, Rafe. They want deep inside your cochlea eye with two stacked preview shows and round-by-round recap pods as Tiger searches for career win number 83. Rafe, do you think he has won more golf tournaments or fancied more ladies out of wedlock? Because he's at number 82 right now on golf tournament victories.
Look. Given what we know of his proclivities, as incredible as it is that he's won 82 professional golf tournaments, but yeah, he's probably putting up way higher numbers outside of that.
It's a hard one day for me today.
Many days for Tiger. Well, Rafe, you can find the First Cut podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to enjoy fine audio. And please tell him BC sent you. All right, Rafe, here's what we're going to do, okay? Okay? We're going to take a pause for the cause. On the other side, we got some latest news. We're going to recap the latest inside the bubble where when Rafe continues to unfollow the top-ranked staff member by member. And we will have an interesting debate. What's the best boxing win of the last decade?
I already know my answer.
Very, very interesting there, Rafe. All that and then some. Tall, pale, and handsome. It's your boy BC back after this.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
All right, Rafe Bugs BC back at it. Hey, Rafe, happy anniversary to you. No, not in you and your significant loved one of no.
But that's tomorrow is literally our anniversary.
Oh, good Lord. Okay, all right, LB Ali, don't.
Yeah, man, I gotta hold it in today,
yes,
I guess.
Please, don't shoot the gun off. Congratulations on that to your lovely lady as well. Rafe, this is the 10-year anniversary this month of one Pacific Rims, your journey to the Philippines, your love and celebration of all things Pinoy basketball, your appreciation for, Pinas, Rafe, if we can go that far.
Pinas. That really inspired me.
Rafe, congratulations, because this started you off on a journey down the father and son hole into bars, loving basketball and Omar Epps. So do you have any, thoughts, comments on, 10 years as a published author?
Well, the book itself means a lot to me. It's like you said, it really started all of this for me. I had no clue what I wanted to do when I moved to the Philippines. I had a great opportunity with a Fulbright grant and loved basketball and was really fascinated with what I knew of this story. Ended up, it changed my life in a million different ways. The most important of which, it's great to have a career that has been eventful and cool and gave me all kinds of crazy stories from, being at ringside at Marquez Pacquiao.
Yes. Four.
Four, yes. The one that he won. Yeah. Being at all, so covering fights, working with Bill Simmons, which, not Whoa. Too many people can say they did.
Whoa, Simo, we never mentioned that name on this pod. Okay.
Yeah, I take that back. But a lot of that, basically you can trace it all back to that experience. But more important than any of the career stuff is that the Philippines is still a huge part of my life. I'm still in touch with, I was on the phone this week with a former teammate of mine there that we played in tournaments together, and he just had a kidney transplant. He's doing well. I'm back there every year. 2020 is probably going to look like, because of COVID, the 1 year I don't make it back for the first time since 2011. So in any case, it's a huge part of my life, and I want to keep it that way forever. And I have that experience to thank for it.
I own that book. I've read that book. Heard it was good. Right?
Yeah. Sounded boring.
Picked it up. Still sounded pretty good. Congrats on that, Rafe. I had a follow-up. Yeah, whatever. I mean, who cares, right? Yeah, okay. Have you given any more time to the Broner Rap CD?
No.
Okay, because I'd love to spoil you. I know we had a couple setbacks, but you stayed down so loyal. Met you, now got moans. You're a clean girl, you're so blue. Is that what they I said? All right. Ray
Frank Erickson Lubin.
Yeah, that's quite a humdinger.
An absolute humdinger.
Rafe, did you happen to see our guy Jose Zepeda box in the bubble recently? No,
but I did listen to your interview with him, which was charming. He came off great.
Thank you.
Got to learn a little bit about him. Sweet guy. I heard he looked good and basically just shut out or, you know, won wide against that replacement Castaneda guy. And you know what, Brian, this is what I'll tell you. I'm kind of as look, we're pretty committed Zepeda heads, but I was relieved he did not end up fighting Ivan Baranchuk because I don't like that matchup for him. So, and I like Zepeda a lot as a fighter. I just think that Baranchuk puts on so much pressure. He's so physically strong. He can hurt you. And I don't know that. I mean, you know, Baranchuk hurt Josh Taylor a couple times in that fight, and Taylor had to crack him, put him down a couple times to put some distance between himself and Baranchuk. And I don't know that our guy Zepeda would have been able to hold up against that. So I'm glad because I like both fighters, and I'd rather see them beat other guys who I don't like as much than see them take each other out. Although it would have been a great fight. And I would have liked to see that because I haven't seen a great fight in a long ass time, Brian.
The Russian, I think, is more to my liking.
Rafe, okay. He's Belarusian.
There was a top rank fight. I don't know which one it was that people are saying could be the fight of the year. Do you know?
I'll tell you. It was the Adam Blue Nose Lopez one. I think the second top rank broadcast. Shout out to Evan Korn. I pay attention, brother. Okay. And okay. It opened it up. It was after the sort of the dull of, you know, the letdown of that first broadcast with Shakur Stevenson, who looked fine, you know, in that fight, but still was not a fun fight to watch. Anyway, this Adam Lopez, the guy who pushed Oscar Valdez late last year as a replacement opponent, right? Knocked him down early, looked like he was ahead on those cards, and then got stopped late when Valdez caught up to him. He won. It was a very good fight. He looked pretty good again. So I think that's the one they're talking about. Unless they're talking about, they could be talking about the Maloney Franco fight, but I thought the Blue Nose fight was better.
Maloney Franco was a good fight. Rafe, I'm seeing, Jermell Herring, unfortunately, keeps testing positive for COVID. We're seeing a lot of COVID hits. UFC has had their good share of coaches, fighters pull out, whatever, but Top Rank had that stretch of just, rough luck, but Carlos Takam beat that lifeless body. You didn't care about that, right?
No.
Jerry didn't bring it that night, all right? Thank you.
No.
Also, Rafe, because of Herring pulling out, Michaela Mayer was able to pull in a historic female main event.
I'm wondering how you're going to finesse that one.
defeating Helen Joseph, wide and unanimously. Your thoughts?
That was a great fight. And I'm really excited to see what Michaela Mayer does next. Maybe she can get a fight in there with the winner of Pursuing Taylor, or if Amanda Serrano can come back and get a fight.
Can we sit here and celebrate Eddie Hearn and company for that August 22nd Matchroom card, which already has the best DAZN fight of the summer and maybe the best fight overall of the summer until, you know, that Showtime announcement comes in and maybe some of those can compete with it. But it's Dillian White against Alexander Povietkin, and it's Katie Taylor, Delphine Persoon, part deux. Rafe, I'm overly excited for that fight. That crazy police officer just comes in head first. It's going to be a wild night in Eddie's backyard.
Yeah, I'm excited. I don't know. We know that's happening. That's so far away, Brian. It feels like every week life throws some crazy new curve at us. So I'm just going to keep my fingers crossed that we do get to see that card in Eddie Hearn's backyard. And if we do, the boxing world will be better for it.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. All right. Also, Rafe, Clay Collard continues to be an interesting story, and I'm glad Top Rank is now rewarding him. He'll fight every other day. He's a former UFC guy, skinhead. He once lost to Max Holloway back in his UFC run, and now we have...
Really? How much does Max Holloway weigh?
He fights at 145.
So this guy is now like fighting between 160 and 168 in boxing?
Yes.
He does look a little soft in the middle, but still, I did not think of him.
He pulled a couple upsets out of his kazoo, and now he's just straight winning and knocking dudes out. Scored another TKO in the co-main last night.
Did you see the name of the guy that he – I actually made a note of this because I thought it was funny. The guy he beat this week, Laurent T. Nelson. Any relation, Brian, do you think, to Coach Craig T. Nelson?
Craig T. Nelson, by the way, great actor, Rafe. We always think of
him. Yeah, you really?
Coach. No, you don't think so.
Underrated thespian?
Well, here's the deal on him. Can I look up his IM? Can we go there? Because where else are we going to go, right? So why don't we pull a Johnny Sig, by the way? Check out his pod interviewing a lot of big-name actors, right? From Eric Roberts to...
Eric Roberts was a good one. Somebody from The Sopranos. I don't know if he was an actor or a writer or whatever.
Yeah, no, he was an actor. All right. So did you get into that dramatic show called Parenthood over the last decade?
I didn't. I know that people loved it and cried, and it was a whole big thing. Wasn't my man Michael Rappaport on that? Shout out to New York City.
I don't think he was. But
that
was a great show. And Coach Nelson played the... you know, the grumpy dad and that, the grandpa. And
Michael B. Jordan, isn't it?
Yes.
All right, I got one.
Yes, I think. He's in, like, every show I like, so I'm trying to, you know. He was in Friday Night? He was in everything. The Wire, Friday Night Fights. Every show I ever liked, he was in. Yeah,
Michael B. Jordan was awesome in Friday Night Fights.
Friday Night Lights, yeah. Friday Night Fights is a different show starring Teddy Atlas. Okay. I don't know. Anyway, Coach once starred in a movie called I'm Not Rappaport. Maybe that's where you got confused there.
Nah.
Well, I thought we were going to have a fun little talk here, but my internet will not keep up with me. But I'm trying to think, what's the movie that Craig T. Nelson was the bad guy in the 80s and he was fantastic at it? Do you know?
Coach, your internet broke on me for a second, but yeah, you're back going. Now.
Okay.
And we can agree to celebrate Craig T. Nelson for his
holding up the podcast to get deep into his resume, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you tell me what else is on
it. He was the dick coach in All the Right Moves with Tom Cruise. That's what I'm thinking of. He was great in that. Remember that?
No, like I didn't. I don't think I watched that one because that's early Cruise. That's 80s Cruise. I was a little young for that.
Rebecca De Mornay. Yeah. Come on, Rafe. Will you?
What do you want me to say, man? I remember him in like a weird alien movie. He might have been in like a Body Snatcher movie.
Poltergeist 2. He was in. He was in Action.
Oh, Jackson. Yeah. Poltergeist. That's all. Hey.
Wow. He was in Born on the 4th of July and Turner and Hooch. All right.
Yeah. What was that girl's name? With what? Something Ann? Carrie Ann?
I don't know. This
Poltergeist. They bring in the little tiny woman,
and
she's
an
like,
"Low, Rafe. Okay. All right. Let me see if Teddy remembers that woman at all.
That woman judge who had it even. Please.
Okay. We got to keep going here. The only issue I have with Clay Collard's story, and by the way, Evan Korn trying to get that man Clay Collard on this podcast. I'm not against it. Okay. He can talk skinheads. He's I know he only made $5,000 for that knockout 2 weeks ago, and he fights every 4 days, Rafe. But he's now calling himself Cassius Clay.
That's why it's good to get UFC guys, because they're used to making no money every time they fight.
But Rafe, like, he's a brawler. He's a dude who comes, you know, gets in that ass. You can't call yourself Cassius Clay Collard, right?
That is a bold move, but hey, what, you know, he's backing
guy.
It up so far. All right. While we're talking about Cassius Clay Collard, who is going to cash him out?
Oh, no. Zerto? I don't know. Somebody.
Zerto. He's not. Zerto doesn't mess with that top rank S no more, from what I understand.
Really? Well, he's part of Zanford. Was it?
He is.
Is Zanford top rank, or is it just are they just in bed together?
Well, I mean, Zanfer is its own promotional company that runs its own shows in Mexico and handles a lot of great Mexican fighters. I think when they do work in the U.S., they tend to, you know, they collaborate with Grandpa, which makes sense. You know, you want to work with the best.
Revisit their collaboration.
Okay. Rafe, also, Jamel Herring, who had to pull out of that title bout, Steve Kim reporting that Top Rank could be matching Jamel with Carl. Carl Frampton, of all people, this November. Now, when talking about Carl Frampton, you do have to be careful.
Ever, though, please, whatever you do, do not ever call me a YouTuber, because that is not what I am. I am not a YouTuber, but I do have a YouTube channel.
Thank you. He's not a YouTuber. He's a great fighter, though, Ray.
YouTubers, they're making a wee bit of a mockery out of the sport indeed, of boxing, if you know what I mean.
I mean, look, you know, I'm not here. I'm certainly not here to talk about YouTubers, just in case you were wondering, you know.
Who the hell is that?
I knew he was going to say that. No, those are YouTubers.
Oh, I don't know who those guys are. I'm not on YouTube.
I'm certainly not on YouTube. Well, every Monday with Morning Combat, but that's about it. Rafe, would you pop for Herring Frampton?
Oh, yeah, that's a really good fight. Interesting fight.
Can Jermell win that?
Could he? Yes. Look, Frampton is one of these guys who runs, and especially in recent years, has run hot and cold, right? When he's on, he looks fantastic, like sharp counterpunching, can move, is really athletic, is still quick. He looked dynamite against Tyler McCreary in that comeback fight, and I was expecting him to not look so good. So it has a little bit to do with I suppose if he has a good camp or if his mind is right going into a fight. And I think it also has to do with matchups. Herring is going to be difficult, I think, for Carl Frampton because he's so much taller. He's a guy who moved down from lightweight to 130 and is campaigning there. And he's going to come in. He's smart and he's going to come in with a game plan. And he's got BOMAC in his corner. That's going to be a really interesting fight. I think that Frampton, if he fights well, if he fights at one of the higher levels of himself, should still be good enough to figure out a way to win. But he's coming in with more, more disadvantages than you usually want to see for him. And he's so short. He's not tall. He's a short arm guy. He says, I heard an interview with him when they were discussing the prospect of this fight, because it was supposed to happen pre-COVID. And they even had a date, I think, in May for it. And they're going to do it in Belfast. It was going to be a whole thing, a to-do, a shindig. And Frampton was saying he does well with tall guys. He thinks that he's good. He can effing get inside on them, and he's fast and can outfight them there. If he ain't blowing smoke, that would be really interesting to see. And a huge win for Frampton late in his career, getting a belt in, I think, a third division for him. And he's a top bloke. It's hard to pick a guy to root against in that fight because they're both so likable, so just good people.
And I got news for you. Frampton thinks he's the BEST against tall guys. Rafe, also, Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua revealed as playable characters in the new UFC 4 video game that is launching this week. We don't really care about that in theory, right? They've had Mike Tyson, they've had Bruce Lee in the past as sort of like the playable, unlockable, hideable characters. I mean, you know a lot about Mike Tyson, right?
I love
Mike Tyson. I love him.
Mike Tyson, baby. Mike Tyson.
Hey, Mike Tyson.
Let's go, baby.
Hey, let's go.
Rafe, do you think there's anything deeper into this decision? It's a little bit curious. We do know Dana wants to get into the box. We do know that he loves him some Tyson Fury. Remember, we were kind of floating that perspective rumor theory of like, well, what is, maybe he waits until Fury runs out his top rank deal and then tries his balls off to secure that one fight, right? The Fury AJ fight, you know, be a co-promoter or, you know, pay-per-view provider on his UFC Fight Pass or something. And I don't know if he can even do that with his relationship with ESPN, but I don't know. I don't know how it would happen. But do you think that, can I get like real conspiratorial with you? What if that's this idea? And then also that guy, Danny K?
Yes.
He works in the UAE right now, right? That's where he's hiding out. And the UAE is where UFC is going to be.
White Island, huh?
Going to be this whole summer. In fact, Dana White quoted the other day as saying, I am now looking into buying a house in the UAE because we plan to do so much business there.
I've also secured an island. I've got an island. The infrastructure is being built right now.
Do you think this is like a thing, or who cares? Who cares, right?
Look, I don't think you need to get conspiratorial about it, Brian. I think that anybody involved in combat sports, even someone who's not involved in boxing like Dana White, or hasn't been involved in boxing in many, many years, would want to be a part of that event because it would be enormous. And perhaps he can play some role facilitating because of the connections he's making in the Emirates, through Fight Island and Skinhead Island and I don't know what else, Skinhead Desert and whatever. You know, Tyson Fury is white and bald, so in that regard he would fit in quite well as a skinhead. But he is a boxer. The thing is, like, money's gonna talk is really what matters here. And if Dana ain't gonna offer or be part of the deal that gives these guys the best money, then he's not part of the picture. And if he somehow, you know, has either comes up with the money himself or is the key to unlocking the big money, yeah, you could come and be a part of this. Sure. That's how it, that's all it is.
Cause I don't think he wants to work with, you know, grandpa, right?
That relationship is not at its high point, it seems.
I want to see boxing pull bigger numbers. I'm not Bob Arum. I'm that crusty dick.
That was like Big Daddy when he talks about it. He's like, that guy? His old balls? Oh, wow. I mean, maybe he's so mad because, you know, Dana was going into his suite at the Fight Island Garden Hotel.
Yes.
And what did he see? Grandpa Bob railing all of Dana's harem in there. I shouldn't say harem in that context.
I don't think you should say railing and Bob Arum in the same sentence. I mean, come on. You know, what are we doing?
And he saw Grandpa's old balls and crusty dong, and he can't get it out of his head. He's scarred for life, you know? And you know what? That means advantage Arum.
Yeah, that is that's pretty gross, but yeah, it's not like I didn't have a part in perpetuating that story.
We had an orgy for 2 days. Never screwed so many women in my life in one short
Bob,
period.
Somebody's gonna cancel Bob right along with this podcast. All right, hey Rafe, let's get into an interesting debate here that you posed to me offline that really has become the centerpiece of this ridiculous box show. Best win of the decade. Look, we are starting a new decade right now, 2020. What do we call the last decade? The aught-teens? Is that what they are?
People called it the aughts, like, right? Oh, no, that's the first decade. Yeah. This would be the teens.
The aught-teens, right? Or just the teens?
I think you could get away with teens. No, I don't like the aughts I don't like the aughts, period. I call the first one the 2000s and just leave it at that.
Have you ever Googled anything involving teens?
Legally. You know, I mean, I'm not on the lit. I'm not on, you know, I'm not on like the Epstein manifest, and I'm not on like the Poplowski manifest. Oh, but you know,
you face the real one.
This is what I asked.
This is what you're gonna get. You're gonna get this.
That's what I want.
That's what I want. Thank you.
My dog.
Rafe, who had the best win of the last decade in your eyes?
Okay, so this is something. A little project of mine during some of the downtime I had over the past month. I was rewatching not every fight of Nonito, the Filipino Flash Donaire, but most of his major fights. Like I didn't dig up like when he was like 6-1 watching those fights. But starting like a fight or two before he took that belt off of Darchinian in 2007, and then boom, all the way through. And you know what? This guy, I think most people would agree he's a Hall of Famer already, but he is underrated, man, criminally underrated. Nonito was nasty. And I think, unfortunately, when he blew up and HBO started putting him on,
you mean Jaren's
and Top
dad,
Rank
right?
got him from Gary Shaw, what?
Jaren's dad?
Yes, Jaren's dad. And, of course, Rachel's husband.
Thank you.
Somebody got that score right. When he started showing up on HBO and had some hype behind him, I think that's when he sort of fell in love with his power a little bit. And look, how could you blame him with the kind of power he had in that left hook, putting dents in Montiel's head? And look, I think he actually put dents in another man's head. Go back and watch the Showtime, or no, it was on one of those independent pay-per-views. I think it was a Pinoy Power. He fights Volodymyr Sidorenko. And that guy, his head looks like it almost isn't going to make it out of the ring. And it does have what appears to be a dent in the side. In any case, Nonito fell in love with his power a little bit and won some boring fights on HBO where he could have been more impressive than he was, I think. But still, you go back and watch that guy. What a talent. He was just an outstanding fighter, Brian. And what this is leading to is that in 2013, a Cuban man, Guillermo Rigondio, beat him at coming off of a Fighter of the Year campaign in 2012, which I think was a little debatable because, I mean, look, Marquez should have gotten it for beating Manny in 2012. But at the same time, that was when Nonito was making a big show of being 24/7, 365 Vada, clean. He didn't have no back knee like our guy Marquez did. He also didn't sprout an entirely new body. So I even though I still kind of want Marquez to get 20 in any look, Nonito was hot. He was what's the word? Rest of the Teddy. He was hot.
He was thick.
Nonito was close to his prime. Probably not fighting thick. At his very best weight at 122 pounds. Oh, you're gonna play. Go ahead.
It was that heavy.
That's it. That's Nonito was that heavy at that time. And Rigo came in, I was going to say Madison Square Garden, but it's Radio City Music Hall. You were there. I wasn't. Eric Raskin, my boss, was there. And Rigo he didn't put on a show, but he put a lot of distance between him and Nonito.
Yeah, a lot of people got the score right on what really wrong on what really happened in that fight. Yeah.
He took a couple of rounds off in the middle, as he is wont to do, and it was not fun to watch those rounds. But the skill, the class, the ability seeing where Nonito was at that point in his career, and to see him beaten so clearly by Rigo. I don't think any win in the teens eclipses that. So not Marquez knocking out Manny, not Floyd shutting out young Nello when he wasn't born ready, and whatever else you could come up with. And not just me who thinks this, Brian. Many guys. I will look up the text message. One of those guys, not surprisingly, was Bryn Jonathan Butler, who wrote a book about Rigo and lived in Cuba.
Yeah.
So he might be a little bit, that might be a homer pick.
I mean, if you don't know about BJB.
If you don't know who he is, look him up.
I wasn't working on a story. I just wanted someone I respect to tell me, Rafe, yes, you're right. And so I texted Stephen Breadman Edwards, the trainer of Julian J. Rock Williams.
You and Breadman are on boxing. That level? You slide in like that?
I will slide like that because I would talk to him back in the day when I was working at The Athletic, and I like reading his mailbags on Boxing Scene. Shout out to Rick Reno. And I think, you know, he's just a guy who I respect, and I just hit him up. I was like, yo, I'm thinking about it. I can't think of another win that's better in this decade. And he says it's most likely the best win and performance of the decade. Someone actually asked me this in my mailbag. Floyd over Canelo, Marquez over Manny, Manny over Thurman. Was that? I don't even know what decade that was.
Yeah, that was the same decade. That's okay. And I love him for putting that in there, by the way, because that's a Roman, great win. Okay. Don't go to the next one. Okay. Even though Thurman beat him, that's a great win. Right.
That is a great win. Chocolatito over Estrada. Ward over Kovalev. Which one, though? Because he didn't win the first one.
The second one kind of had all
the nut shots. Williams over Hurd. A little self-serving, but that was a great win. Anyway, Breadman is on board. He says, but yes, I agree. Rigo over Nonito is top.
Wow. Look, you're not going to have to sell me on that. I'm looking at my framed Rigondeaux Donaire poster. That is one of my favorite. The reason why I have it framed, I was like stupidly excited for that fight. Two top 10 pound for pound guys. It was like the, you know, back when I had a hardcore card, back before I gave you back my card many times and I became a filthy casual again who likes skinheads. That was like my Super Bowl. I interviewed both ahead of it. I got into an argument on the phone with Rigo during that stretch, like, because like I brought up how people think he's boring. Like, I mean, I loved that fight so much. I also love me some Rigondeaux. I also sat on the stage of Radio City Music Hall. So that fight to me had, had very, very special vibes to it. Michael J. Fox was in the front row. I sat next to Eric Raskin and met him in the men's room for the first time ever, really. Get a chance to take a deep breath and do something to him there, right?
Come on, let me put some water on your ball.
And also because it was a fun ass fight to me. Okay, people always look at that fight and remember rounds 4 through 8 when Rigo just was like, I'm just gonna play defensive marauder. Hey Rafe, couple things. Not only did Donaire rally to score a knockdown in that fight and make it fun, Donaire almost lost one of his eyes late. And don't forget how fun as balls the first two rounds were, especially round one, when Donaire came in there looking to bang, and Rigo started landing some bombs that, like, made Donaire go, oh, crap, like, you know, I could get caught here. So you don't have to sell me on the idea that that's a great win. But I really like this debate because it's like, you know, it's not the – what makes – that idea of what's the best win of the decade.
Well, so I should have fleshed out my how good Nonito was at the time argument, because his people who were sleeping on some of his fights before in the previous 5 years before then, or say before he showed up on HBO putting the dent in Montiel's head, Fernando Montiel, he has wins over guys who are still holding titles today. To this day, Brian.
Wow.
All right. That Darchinian was a pound for pound guy, undefeated, when he caught him with that hook. And Vic did not know he lost. Two fights later, he stops. And this is a weird stoppage on a cut, but Nonito was at way ahead, was kind of cruising in the fight. Maruti Mtalani, the South African guy who still has a belt right now, and hardcores online are saying deserves. Oh yeah, he should be a pound for pound guy today. Nonito beat him back in the day. All these guys that showed up in great fights in the lower weights, Nonito just sunned a lot of them. Hernan Tyson Marquez knocked his ass out easy.
Dude, you don't have to sell me. All you had to say was that Donaire was your reigning fighter of the year, and essentially universal number 3 pound for pound in the world behind Manny and Floyd at that point.
Yeah, I mean, he was consensus number 3 at the time. And
let me just ask you quick, Manny had lost to Bradley to open 2012. Who did he close 2012 by beating?
Nobody. He got slept to close 2012. December 2012.
So Manny was not your consensus.
Probably maybe Ward. Ward fighting, or was he fighting with Goosen?
Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Yeah, he was losing. He was taking the only L of his career to Goosen. I think Donito Nonerne was as high as number 2, Rafe, because Manny was out of that picture.
It was Nonito Donero.
Yes, he was the number 2 best fighter in the world, and he was your reigning fighter of the year. Now, look, in full honesty, that was one of those weird fight of the year wins where he won it because he won 4 times and nobody else had like a breakthrough year, because Marquez had beaten Licar Ramos when he took a dive in that first fight. So no one wanted to give Marquez fighter of the year for like the one knockout of Manny. So they gave it to Nonito on the whole, they looked at the whole man.
You know what? They also probably, it was BWAA, so they probably also voted on it before Marquez and Manny fought in December of that year.
That is a great comeback. Wow, you're right. So,
wow, it is good.
Yeah, you're feeling it. So here's the deal. This win is in the discussion. I need to figure out right now if this was actually the best win. We're talking about the number 2 pound for pound fighter in the world. Rafe, do you know what we're also talking about? Rigondeaux was something like 11-0 at that time, or 8-0 or something ridiculous, and hadn't really won a big fight. So there were, you know, the Dan Rafiels of the world at that time who were like, you know, this guy's just a boring defensive guy. Donaire's going to knock him out. That was what a lot of people thought coming. I got the score right. I predicted he'd win a close decision, which in the end he did. Although, let's not forget this. Anyone sitting on the side of the ring that had Max Kellerman and Harold Lederman had Rigo winning by, like, you know, wide margins, which led to everybody at home scoring it for Rigo by wide margins. But everybody on the press row side had it close, like 114, 112, something like that. And the reason is because we didn't give Rigo those four straight rounds when he didn't fight at all.
I understand, but like he Nonito really couldn't do anything in those rounds either. You know, I mean, I was not happy that Rigo basically took them off and was just like, yeah, well, I don't need to, you know, I'm taking these off because you can't touch me.
Yeah, but Donaire was landing jabs. He was at least trying to push the pace. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but like he was not in control. Look, I love me some Nonito, but he was not in control of that fight.
Okay, well, look, I'm arguing against one of my favorite fighters ever here in Rigo, so let me stop doing that now. The question is there a win that's better? Man, that Marquez Manny win is close. It's real close.
I think if you look, you can make a very good case because of how good, you know, obviously both of them were, the level they fought out. The Rigo win, it was a great fight, but it has a certain taint. It has a smell on it. I think we know what that smell is.
Yes, it did exist. Believe me, it did exist. We've been smelling that since the beginning, so to speak, Rafe. You know what I'm talking about. All right, Floyd Canelo's not. It can't surpass it, but it's in the conversation. I mean, I know Canelo was 23, but Floyd shut him out, except for CJ Ross. I mean, he pissed all over him.
He made Canelo look like Robert Guerrero in that fight.
Yeah. He gave him the raw dog. Could you argue that the Floyd win over Manny disarming him like that? Forget about the salt water in the shoulder. Manny was number two pound for pound at the time. That was the two best fighters of their division, their sport, their era.
You and could argue it.
Floyd gave him a boxing lesson.
I mean, look, and if you honestly, it's a similar argument as your one would make for the Rigo over Nader fight. It's like, you know, this was a fight where it wasn't a great fight, but it was a fight where two great fighters and one clearly showed he was the more skilled and better man on that night and probably throughout their careers if you want to extrapolate from there. So the way I look at Manny, I think had phases to his career, which may have, you might want to call them cycles to his career, but you could also call them phases.
Relax. Cycles to Manny's career? What are you, Paulie Malignaggi here? You got to cycle I mean is, on and off before USADA shows up, you know?
Look, Manny from 2012 when he gets knocked out by Marquez to, I would say, when he comes back versus Matisse, those 5 years or so, he was not he didn't go for it like he did before and like he does now. I don't know how, what he somehow Stella got his groove back, or Manny, you know, maybe he took a dip with Tay Diggs. But
I think you meant to say that Memo got his groove back.
Well, he's not working with Memo right now.
Hey, real quick on Tay Diggs. Do you watch the CW/Netflix series All American? I'm addicted to it.
No, I don't. I used to watch the CW series Homeboys in Outer Space.
Oh, my God. You know who loves that is the dude that co-hosts the Wire podcast with Jamel Hill on The Ringer, Van Latham.
You know, I'm not familiar with that that podcast
or that company. Thank you. You know, it's not amateur night. It did exist there, Rafe. What I'm saying here is All American with Tay Diggs. It's a football socio class show based in Crenshaw. It's fantastic. Okay, it's
cool.
Freaking fantastic.
I'll happily check that out.
Thank you. Anyway, Rafe, if Manny's 2009 win over Cotto was in this decade, would you give that a chance of winning, or would you say that Cotto had already been?
Yeah, Cotto was also not himself. You know, the thing that separates this Rigo win is he was beating Nonito almost very, very close to his absolute prime. I don't think it was Nonito's best weight, but other than that, nor was it Rigo's best weight, right? So this was It was masterful, you know.
Rafe, you do know you're forgetting a monster one, and in fact, you know, especially when we're talking about not only best wins of the decade, but ones that came where somebody, you know, disarmed the guy and gave him a freaking boxing lesson. In fact, baby, I just don't get it that you could miss this. I mean, I know, what do you enjoy?
Oh, are we doing Fury over Vlad?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, I mentioned that to Brett. No.
Give him his moment, okay? He deserves it, all right? Chicken punches like Mike Tyson. Bruno, Rafe, because I'm sick and tired, even today, of BoxingScene.com, great website, of BoxingScene.com's Dan Raphael continuing to perpetuate the wrong stereotype that Fury Klitschko was a crap fight that featured two crap performances and that the guy who was less crappy just happened to win. Rafe, that fight is in discussion for best of the decade. And I'm sorry, given the history of Klitschko's dominance up to that point and given the fact that nobody except for Big John thought that Tyson could do it, that might be the best win of the decade. And it was brilliant. And people missed it.
Ryan, you're a hatch cock. You're a hatch cock, my friend. But let me ask you this.
He made him flip cheeseburgers.
Yeah, he did make him flip cheeseburgers. And Vlad was not comfortable handling that grill. However, Brian, let me ask you this one question. I'll ask you one question about this. Okay, here we go. Was Vlad ever 2 or 3 pound for pound?
Speaking of Dan Raphael, Rafe.
I'm asking you. I ain't asking Dan the man.
After Floyd retired in 2015 post-Berto, let's not forget Dan Raphael put Klitschko number one pound for pound. So, Rafe, when was the Fury Fury Klitschko fight?
Oh, stop this. Stop
late 2015 it was, right? It did exist. Please, find the date. I'm going to look it up on my slow
Wi-Fi. It was 2015, yeah, November 2015.
Oh, my God. When did Floyd beat Berto? September 2015. Rafe, Fury beat the pound-for-pound king, according to the number one boxing writer in the planet. Okay? So let's bring in Harold. All right, Jim. 4-3 for Dan Raphael. Jim, I don't know what he saw, but this might be the best win of the decade. Be it as it may. Okay?
Yeah, look, okay. Fury gets the golden fleece.
Decide right now, as for you and your house, who will you serve?
Oh, in the Bartholomew, in the Books household?
Yes.
Re-go.
Okay, okay. I'm not convinced it's not Tyson Fury. That's but at worst that's number two. Tell me.
I feel bad for forgetting it now. But like when I was texting BJB and Breadman over the weekend about this, I was like, I can't think of anything other than maybe like, you know, Marquez over Manny and Fury over Klitschko. Those were the two that came to mind. And then obviously there were others that I wasn't thinking of at the time. But so, yeah, it was one of the first that came to mind for that. But look, man, they were not as good of fighters, pound for pound, as the guys in the ring that night in Radio City Music Hall with you sitting there dreaming of Rockettes when you was a kid.
Man, I still dream of that.
Okay. They got legs, man. They know how to use them.
Can. Yes, they can. Anyone can get it there on that row there, Rafe. do we also just mention – in terms of the honorables and the people that we forgot, I just had one. I just had one in my brain. I just had one. No, I just had one. Sorry. The Ward Kovalev thing. Let's not forget that was two of the top three fighters in the world at the moment. So we do have to put the first one up there.
But it's not a clear win.
Yeah, well, that's fair. That is fair. Okay, so I take that out. I take that back. So then I'm going to go like this. Fury Klitschko 1, Rigo Donaire 2.
Trout over Canelo was a clear win that day.
Floyd Manny.
Lara over Canelo was a clear win that day.
Floyd Manny 3, Floyd Canelo 4. And I don't think you can put Chaco SSR because we didn't. I mean, SSR before that Chaco
fight. SSR Estrada.
Oh, Estrada. Oh.
2012, Larry Holmes. Yeah, he's calling it as he sees it. He knows this game, bro.
It did exist. He does know it. No, I still don't think you can put that up there because I think we ended up giving Estrada love more after that, right?
Yeah, I mean, people were like, damn, this guy can fight on that night.
Yeah, that's for sure. Okay, that's it. We're not missing anybody else, right?
I mean, I'm sure we're missing something, but we don't have the regular boxing fans listening to us, right? They are the boxing hardcore.
Yeah.
And they're going to let us know. I mean, look, we need to probably put a little more respect on Darren Barker over Wash Gill.
Oh, come on. Loma against the fastest hands in the world, Gary Russell Jr. Yes. Oh, actually, Salido Loma. That's a hell of a win, though.
That's a garbage win.
I can't argue.
You got to make weight if you want to qualify. Yes,
that is true. That is true. Okay. But, you know, at the end of the day, everybody's got to eat, baby. Thank you. Rafa, let's go quickly through the rest of this here. Horn, Timmy Zhu Jr., Jeff Horn. It's going to happen because I don't know if you've noticed, but the COVID numbers down under are fantastic right now. So shout out to all of our Aussie blokes that are checking this out, our New Zealand, our Kiwi friends as well. August 26th at an outdoor stadium, we're getting Horn Zoo. So get horned, first of all. But guess who weighed in on who they thought could win this or should win this?
The man, I tried to keep him off the pole, but I couldn't do it.
Michael Zarafa, okay?
Oh, yeah.
He says, he told the Sydney Morning Herald after listening to the Tim Zoo interview confirming it, I fell asleep. He can't string a sentence together. It sounds like he's talking underwater. He's the most boring fighter I've ever seen. He went on to say, essentially, Rafe, that he's one-dimensional. And he says, quote, you have to clean up your backyard first, like I did, like Jeff Horn did. You take away Zoo's last name, you'd ask Tim who? Who's he beaten? He fought Joel Camilleri, who is tough, and Dwight Ritchie, rest his soul. Who else? He fought Wade Ryan. Who else? Guy Ritchie? Against who? Rafe, is Zarafa getting the score right here? I mean, is Tim Zhu going to get sent to hell by the school teacher?
It does. Look, I look at that matchup and just think, why is this happening? I don't know. I haven't watched a whole lot of Tim Zhu fights closely because he's not really fought anyone I know yet. I will be watching this one avidly, even if it's on at like 4 a.m. here on the East Coast, because it's taking place in Townsville, Australia. But yeah, look, unless Tim Zhu is the truth and is ready for a real leap in class, I think, you know, the Hornet will, you know, he will respond with his fists in the ring and you'll see.
Yeah,
do
right,
you
Rafe.
Think, Brian, how involved is you know, the legendary father, Kostya Zhu, with his son's career? Does he train him? Is he going to – basically, I'm asking, are we going to get some interactions between the Scorpion King, Glenn Rushton, and Kostya Zhu? And is Kostya Zhu going to have to break out a – do not be rude to me, please.
I think
to Glenn, because Glenn likes to talk some smack.
I'd like to.
He runs that financial planner mouth of his.
I'd like to see both of them harden up and bang it full of quotas. Indeed. I'm excited for that fight. Straight up, I'm excited about it. Rafe, 15 years later, is there enough distance? We know Kostya Zhu is an all time great, but is there enough distance to say he quit in round 12 against Ricky Hatton? He didn't come out of his office stool.
Look, you're not. This is not going anywhere with me. All right, I understand the argument. People can go ahead and feel how they want to feel. You know how I want to feel. Ricky Hatton was a dirty ass fighter fighting at home. The ref was letting him do all kinds of fouling. Didn't warn him none. And Kostya was like, "This is bull crap. I'm out." All right. So if you want to call that quitting, call it what you want. But it was, you know. He got jobbed. Brian.
Scorecards at the time, 105-104 Hatton, 106-103 Hatton, 107-102. So he would have needed a knockdown at least to try to pull off a draw there, Rafe. So, yeah. All right. Hey, moving on as well. Dan Rafael of BoxingScene.com caught up with Bernard Hopkins and asked him about Oscar's threatening comeback. You know, Bernard once got sent to hell through the ring ropes by that construction worker, remember?
Well, he remained active. That was different.
Okay. Well, he says, quote, "I would honestly tell Oscar to pick on someone your own age or older. There's not a lot of guys 50 and up, but pick on someone your age, of course. Try to make it a quick knockout so there's no embarrassment. Pick the right opponent, and remember, your legacy is still alive as long as you're in the ring, so you got to protect that legacy. I would say stay away from anybody not in your age bracket." He went on to say, "I don't want anybody, whether it's my partner Oscar or anybody I really care about or support, to get hurt. I would tell Oscar, why would you come back? Can I talk you out of it for a minute?" Rafe, should Bernard be picking up the phone already from the beginning and talking Oscar out of this crap? Or does he just know Oscar's a freak and he's going to do what he wants?
Well, I think he probably knows that Oscar, like every other time he talks about coming back, probably isn't coming back. So, you know, don't waste your breath, Bernard, you know, trying to save Oscar from himself. Oscar will you know, probably just forget that he ever made any of this up.
Well, he did say pick on somebody your own age, and there's not a lot of fighters, you know, 50 or over who can do this, even though
you think he's trying to talk himself back into that fight with Oscar.
They have a little bit of history, and Oscar had
plenty. What a beauty.
Oscar had plenty of business getting up from that body shot, and he didn't. So maybe he should honor Guy Ritchie and come back and challenge Bernard. Maybe there's a chance this happens.
You're saying that there's a chance.
Who would you favor? I guess they would have to do it at like 68, right, for Bernard? 47-year-old Oscar against...
What weight does Oscar make at this point? We don't know.
Oscar said he could make 54 for this comeback, which I don't believe. But what if they did it at 68? Oscar, Bernard. I don't know if Bernard can make 68. What am I talking about? Open weight. Rafe, open weight. Who wins?
I'm sticking with Bernard in that one, Brian, because he's the one who lives the very clean lifestyle, probably still trains in, you know, like trains, probably still trains and spars 4 or 5 times a week. And he is the alien. And he won the first one. So I don't see how Oscar, I really don't see how Oscar would have much of a chance.
I was in your ass and you was ready to quit and you was blowing and puffing and went to your corner like a rag doll.
Like a rag doll.
And knew that you lost that fight. Yeah. That's how gangster I am. All
right. Wow, great moments in history there from HBO Face to Face, right? Great stuff.
Oscar, what would Oscar say? Oscar would be like, "Well, Bernard, it's not really how I thought it happened."
Let's bring in Oscar. Do we have Oscar at all?
Anthony Joshua's what, like 6'7", 6'8"?
Yeah.
And he's muscular and he's built like a, looks like a freaking goddess, you know?
All right, I wouldn't have used those words. But, hey, Keith Thurman has come out in an interview with our Armenian legend, Manuka Akakapan, Rafe?
Akopian.
And he says he lost to Manny Pacquiao because he failed in the self-discipline needed to take off the weight ahead of that fight in a timely and responsible manner and rushed and took it all off too late. And he says, Rafe, in round 10, entering round 10, he was convinced the fight was a draw and took his foot off the gas and was content to go to the scorecards as a draw. And as we know, he went on to lose a split decision, but he says he didn't finish strong in the final two rounds. Something inside of him kind of just gave up. Should he be saying this? Do you buy into all this at all? Do you care? Do you want to see a rematch? What are you thinking here about Keith?
I don't really care how he thinks about how he lost or whatever, but I would watch that fight again. It was really good the first time around. If Keith thinks that he can improve on it and Manny doesn't have another dance partner, there are only a handful of fights for Manny out there that would be better. Even fewer if you remove, say, like the Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford fights that probably are biting off more than Manny wants to chew in his early 40s. So then you're really only looking at 3 or 4 guys tops who make much sense, and Keith's got to be in there. That was good. That would be fun.
Jeff Horn. Who's Jeff Horn? Nobody. I got so many different disrespectful things that I can say right now. I don't even want to do it because that was back then. Doesn't even matter now.
Fast forward a couple months later, Rafe, and suddenly he changed his tune. Okay. You know what happened next, right? Do you?
He had a little too much to drink that
day. Thank you.
Jeff Horn was a real man.
Yes, he was. Thank you. Rafe, as far as my history of clinging to scorecard takes I've had and not backing off, do you respect 115-113 Thurman over Pacquiao, or do you despise me for it?
I don't know what was going through your mind, Brian. I just don't know.
All right, we'll leave it at that. Speaking of good-looking men like myself, Rafe, David Lemieux, the Armenian turned Canadian honk, is still pining for this Canelo fight, telling Boxing Scene, quote, "Canelo's a great style for me, and it's fireworks for the fans." As we stand right now, Rafe, hoping DAZN is going to give us some fights. I mean, you know, you remember the what Dwyer has said, his issues.
I thought DAZN was going to hit us between the eyes with some great fights.
Right?
Who's Canelo going to fight? Tom, Dick, or Harry?
Well, I don't know. You can choose which of those three you'd prefer, Rafe. I think you'd go with the second one. But are we going to see this? Is this guy in the clubhouse lead in the Boogs household in terms of who gets Canelo?
It seems like it, right? Because if there's the, you know, the reporting suggests that Derevianchenko will be looking at a Jermall Charlo fight.
Sources, right. Per Mike Coppinger, per Kevin Connolly of Entourage.
Right. So if that's the if that's what's going to happen, then who? It's hard to you start to grasping at straws, right? I mean, they're going to pull Toriano Johnson's ass out of a hat somewhere. I mean, they might.
Give me Curtis Stevens. Give me Jason Quigley.
I mean, it could get rough.
Give me Canelo Curtis Stevens. Okay. Thank you.
Oh my God.
No. Also, Clarissa Shields is looking to come back and fight that Dee Curry chick from Canada for a 154 title. Do you care, Rafe? Do you really care?
Which one? Who's Dee Curry again?
I don't know. I really don't.
Yeah.
Know.
All right. Let me just say I was wrong about this fight. Clarissa Shields is books.
She's what?
It's what?
She's what?
Let me just say I was wrong about this fight. Clarissa Shields is books.
Books? She's books?
Us? I don't know.
All right. You know, I'm done with that. Okay. You know, yeah. Rafe, that's the damn show for this week. Special thanks to Evan Korn for getting sent to hell by Rafe Boogs on the Twitter game.
I didn't send him to hell. What are you talking about? That's crazy.
All right. You tell us, okay? At us, at Rafe Boogs, at B Campbell CBS, at State of Combat. What's boxing's best win of the last decade? We ain't got nothing else to talk about until they announce some good fights, okay? I ain't got that DAZN shit. I'd like to again. Hopefully, right? You been watching the Mannix Hour there on DAZN?
I mean, I listen to his podcast, and I like that, but it's just weird to turn on DAZN and watch a podcast.
Yeah, it's
a different podcast. I love me some Sergio Mora, but I don't really catch it that much.
But look, it's been a rough year for a lot of people.
Right, it's been a rocky year for me, right? I lost the Mikey Garcia, Errol Spence fight. Worse yet, as people who follow the polls I post here online, I had a backup plan here. I had Caleb Truax against Peter Quillen. I was getting a plus 225.
Dude, Caleb Truax, when you're talking about, like, the great left hoods in history, Rafe?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you rake Caleb?
Truax?
Caleb Plant. Hey, can we order Caleb Truax's beer?
I don't know. I should be able to find some out here. I'm in a Great Lakes state.
Yeah, I'm going to get on that. In fact, we should just get that guy on here to talk soon. We love that man. I was talking about Caleb Plant's left hook. I don't know if you had a thought on that at all.
Oh, you know, I'm going to wait to see him land it on a decent fighter and then move and then take it from there.
Then you have Mayweather. Here, trigger left hook. Right, dare I say, Caleb Plant level left hook.
God, that's such a great soundbite. I mean, it really is, right?
Dwyer is the best.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Rafe, this was fun, okay? I try not to jab with a jabba, but we went back and forth a bit. You know, it was a good time. Great oldies, okay?
It just fits on like an old leather jacket.
Yes, it does. I feel like I never know if we're ever going to do a show again. I never know if this is the last one because boxing just, you know, they just don't got the score right now. But hopefully, you know, the rumors.
I know are... boxing can't be killed and it can never be saved.
I know.
You will always be here with us we will be here with boxing.
But at the same time, boxing, you know, it's kind of full of shit, Rafe, okay? I used to love the sport, all right? So it is what it is at the end of the day. Shout out to everybody, right? Omaha, Nebraska. Ulrich Anderson, all the crews, John Signorella of Las Vegas, big fan of what that guy's doing in his life. You have any shouts you want to put out there? Or the Robbie Rinaldis? Oh, Homer. Homer's all over my ish lately.
Homer got himself a problem, it seems, on the gram. Got a little too close to the rooster on there. Now the rooster's sliding. I don't know if he's sliding in Homer's ladies' DMs, but he's definitely commenting on there. You know, look. You don't. We've seen the kind of pressure the rooster puts on you in the ring. You don't want that. That is a bad night, if you win like JSK did.
Yes, he will BFJ all over your lady. There is no question about
it. Jesus, man.
Yes, 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 indeed. All right, check out my favorites folder for more. We got to shut this thing down. For Rafe Bartholomew of USBets.com, a subservient of Eric Raskin, my name is Brian Campbell. Deep breath now. Rafe, do you want to give out the closing message?
Yeah.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.